Okay, call the Plan Commission meeting for Wednesday, July 16th, 2014 to order. Peggy, can you lead us in the pledge, please?
Salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please, Karen.
Yes, I'd like to welcome our new commissioner, Commissioner Bob Griffin.
Thank you.
Bob Griffin.
Griffin.
Commissioner White?
Here.
Commissioner Bedingfield?
Here.
Chairperson, Vice Chair Woods?
Present.
Chairperson Warren?
Here. Okay, agenda review. Do we have any changes from staff or commission on tonight's agenda?
Staff has no changes to the agenda.
Commission, no changes? Okay, we're moving on. We have no minutes. Public comment. Persons wishing to speak on a matter not on the agenda may be heard at this time. However, no action will be taken unless placed on a future agenda. Do we have anyone that would like to say anything? Seeing none, we'll move on. New business, public hearings, modification to design review approval, file number DR-12-01, applicant owner of the Pacific Companies, assessors parcel 001-061-042, 1340 West Sycamore Street, R3 zoning district, high-density residential district, multifamily, land use designation, request to make modifications to the exterior building material and change fencing material. Karen, you want to give us what you have?
Yes. Thank you, Commissioners and Chair. Before you is a request, and this is coming from Mr. Ken Koss. He is representing the Pacific West Communities project that is underway right now at Sycamore and Humboldt Street. I think you're probably all aware of the project. As the request came in, and we, the chair and the city manager and myself, met with Mr. Koss initially to discuss his proposal for some changes. And at that meeting, it was decided that these changes were warranted for the commission to all review. So that's why it's before you here this evening. And so, just a little background. First, I should just go into what the requested changes were. Are to change the portion of the siding from the stucco to an outside Prodigy vinyl lap siding. And he has exhibits were included with your report to indicate the changes. And then secondly, is to change the fencing material from a CMU wall to a decorative cedar architectural style perimeter fence. And additionally, there are exhibits that were included in your staff report, as well as the large exhibits on the cork board that are available for you to review. In July of 2012, almost 2 years ago, Pacific West did come before the Planning Commission with their application for design review of this 49-unit senior apartment complex, which was to construct two buildings that are two-story residential. They'll be fully sprinkled, and they will have 49 units in them, which are 39 one-bedrooms and 10 two-bedrooms. There are a number of amenities that are on the property as well, including with this project. Specifically, as far as this request is, a condition of approvals that were granted as part of the design review approval were specifically condition number 5, which stated that this architectural design review would expire in 1 year if it was not acted upon. That has been applied for, so they are in good standing with that design review extension. And then the second part was that after applying for that extension, but if there were any substantial changes to what the circumstances around the original approval design, and those go to back to the Planning Commission for those approval, and that's why it's in front of you right now. So to discuss what is required, or I guess what it was approved, we'll start with the fencing material. So it was a 6-foot-high CMU block wall with pilasters was proposed to be constructed, and that was going to be along the east and south sides of the property, a little bit towards the north as it jogged towards Sycamore. The fence was included in the project in order to screen the development and from the parking surrounding areas. And then other portions of the project will include a black wrought iron fence. That'll be along the west side, which will be a 6-foot high wrought iron fence, and then along the north side, which is the opening to the project, and that'll be a 3.5-foot wrought iron fence. There is a section in the architectural design review criteria that does require that walls or fences or screening shall be employed in some skillful manner and in harmony with the design of the development in order to conceal and to screen parking and loading areas, garbage and refuse collection areas, and any mechanical equipment from view from adjoining streets or from persons residing on or working in the development. There are no multifamily residential guidelines to direct and guide an applicant at this point. We're in the process of working on those. But as far as fencing material, there were none to guide the project on. However, what was proposed was this 6-foot high CMU block wall. And the request to change the wall look to a decorative cedar architectural style perimeter fence, as I said, is included in the exhibits that were presented with your staff report. The building material that is requested for change, the exterior of the building was proposed to be a cultured stone on the third bottom portion of the building, and then stucco material above that, and then above that, vinyl lap siding on the upper portion. So one-third of it was going to be the stucco material. The lap siding, which is the requested change to be, additionally falls within a section of the design review code that allows for soft and muted colors and earth tone and wood tone. Natural materials are preferred and generally should predominate. Other colors and materials may be accepted if the applicant can demonstrate that they are more compatible with the character of the neighborhood. As stated earlier as well, there are no multifamily residential guidelines to direct any kind of development as far as building materials. All of the colors that are, the proposed colors that are being discussed or requested do fall within that earth tone color scheme of our code. Just to note for the project is that there are declarations of covenants and conditions and restrictions that are recorded against the project. And as I included here, there's a statement that the declarant or a successor at their sole expense shall maintain all on-site facilities and improvements. And those improvements as listed in the CC&Rs are fencing as well. So with that, that is pretty much all I can tell you about the project, what has been proposed. There are enough exhibits here for you to view, and then a letter that was included in with your staff report discussed about the reasonings why. Maybe I'd like to let the applicant, Mr. Koss, explain or maybe answer questions if you have about that as to the reasonings why he chose to come before you about this.
Okay, good, because I couldn't read this letter.
Did you not get a second
there's
one
page.
In your, there was
page.
One.
Further
in,
back.
The very end.
If you go further back,
okay.
I saw
tried, I could make out bits and pieces of it.
Yeah, but why isn't the first one as clear as the second one?
So before this one?
Okay. It's right after the draft resolution.
So there are reasons for requesting this, and I believe I'll let Mr. Koss present those to you. If you have any questions of staff, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Any questions from commission?
Also, I believe Mr. Koss has got some PowerPoint that he wants to present as far as his
okay.
Statements.
So you want to come up, Mr. Koss? And
I can go there. There was the microphone there.
Mr. Chairperson, Planning Commissioners, appreciate you taking the opportunity to listen to our request this evening. One thing I'd like to know is Karen brought up the fact that the Planning Commission approved this project like 2 years ago. And one other thing too, Pacific West Communities build affordable housing for a living. Everything they do, no market, everything they do is affordable. And it's was exactly the same as the day the project was approved, I wouldn't be here asking for any changes of any kind. Unfortunately, in today's world, it's getting more difficult and more difficult to build affordable housing because the government has taken away our soft dollars. So, and that's the reason why I'm here tonight. It's a plain, simple, hard fact. We got $500,000 less of affordable housing dollars from Federal Home Loan Bank than was first allocated to the project. Boom, right off the top, $500,000 out the door. So when I'm here tonight, I'm not trying to ask you to cheapen this project of any kind that we're going to build here in Willows. We're just changing the material that cost us less money. And the important thing too is it cost us less job time. With the vinyl product, we can install that on the buildings 2, maybe 3 weeks faster than the stucco product. When you're at that end of the project and you're looking at $5,000 to $7,000 a week in interest charges, you want to get done as fast as you can to get away from the construction home into the permanent home. Really important thing to remember too, Pacific West Communities keeps every project they build for their own asset management. One thing, last thing that we're concerned about is to build something that's going to be a maintenance nightmare down the road. That's the reason why we use all sides Prodigy product. It's 100% vinyl product, guaranteed for life. It's 100% vinyl product. It's not a vinyl product over a composite, like about 60% of the vinyl products out there in the market. You could buy a cheaper one, but 5 or 6 years down the road, you're going to be replacing it. You're going to have color failure. Allside guarantees this product against color failure for the life of the project. That's why you can tell, I wish I could have brought the Williams project and just completed here and see how nice it looks. But the siding there looks the same as the 10-year-old product that you're looking at right here that we brought forward. So, you know, it's not like we're downgrading the product, we're just changing the siding is all we're doing. The fencing material, and it's strictly a matter of cost. By changing from the CMU fence to the decorative architectural style cedar fence and the siding, I could save about $270,000. Plain and simple. The cedar fence is going to look good. Like Karen said, it's part of the CC&R. It's our responsibility to fix it. A couple of things that we do different than most people do. You'll notice in your package you have there that we put 3 2x4 womanized strands on there rather than the standard 2. Reason for that is it's more stable. It costs a few months more to go in, but down the road you don't have a problem. Don't use 3 in worse material. Use 2 in better material. So you've got a good looking fence now. You're going to have a good looking fence below, down the road.
Commission, have any questions for Mr. Koss? At this time, you have a slideshow presentation to our PowerPoint.
The slide presentation is exactly the same as what you have in your staff report.
I'll just go down here. Actually, let me turn a couple of lights off.
Photos don't do the buildings justice, but what we had proposed and what the Planning Commission approved was stone, stucco, and vinyl siding. What we're proposing, you want to go proposing now is stone, vinyl siding, and then vinyl siding. It's the only change in the exterior of the building.
Does it go opposite direction?
It will. You'll notice this here is going to be going vertical. This here will be going horizontal. So you'll still get the breakup in the material and then the stone down below. That's just another photo of the vinyl. This here, wanted to kind of look at what it looks like. This is a project in Farmersville that's 10 years old. If you look, you can look at this product. If you take that photo, drive down to Williams, you'll see that they both look exactly the same. This 10-year-old product looks as good as the new one we just put on. The reason it does is that they guarantee the product for life. That's the reason why it stays looking so good. And of course, we do our own asset management again. So not only are we looking at it, but you guys are going to look at it. The state's going to look at it. The feds are going to look at it. And most important of all, the investors are going to be looking at it all the time. So, you know, we get spanked quite, you know, if you do something out of the way, you're going to get spanked for it. This here just gives you an idea of the cross-section of the fence. This is the three womanized boards we're talking about. The 4x4 posts are set in concrete, so they're going to be there for a long time. Just an architectural rendering of what the fence, what the cedar architectural fence would look like. The next one is the CMU. The CMU fence kind of a blah, ugly thing, really. And the CMU fence will be tagged when he gets up. Guaranteed. That's just a subcopy of the site plan. Happy to answer any questions that the commission might have.
No question. Go right ahead.
You said that you started this project in your 500,000 down from what you, how much was the loan that you applied for? Karen, do you know how much the loan was applied for?
Not the AHP loan. I don't know how much that funding total was. I apologize. I don't know what the AHP total funding was. I just
wonder where you got the 500,000, because I thought it was, the thing was 450,000, and that's what you received in the loan. Is that not?
Just to clarify a couple of funding sources. One funding source was through the city, through home funds,
right,
which they were granted 4.5 million.
Yeah.
Then there was there's other funding sources. One is AHP, and then there's the private lender. So
where was the shortfall at?
I don't get into that. I'm told how many dollars we were short on that yet. I don't know what the total loan was.
So which loan was that short on?
That loan, the one that came in short, was the Affordable Housing Fund dollars that's funded through the Federal Home Loan Bank.
Okay. Does that answer your question?
AHP is a lender for housing development.
Right.
Affordable housing. They do lending to augment additional.
So you got all your funding from the other two.
Yeah. And again, too, you know, if it was perfect from the day that we started, the good thing about it, there's been a little bump in construction. Bad news about that is there's been a bump in cost of materials to get done. Whenever there's a bump in construction, materials will go up too. So nothing has stayed the same. You know. I'm sorry, I don't know what to do.
It's okay.
Okay, have no other questions at this point.
I was just curious. I see that you're still 250-something thousand short on that, and I wondered if would that result in any changes on the interior or any other materials or anything, or will that just be something that your company absorbs, you know, that extra cost?
We're working on two other issues at the present time with the city engineer and the city that we're hoping that will make up
the difference. Okay.
Between that. So.
Okay, I was just curious. Thank you.
And another thing. One thing you can't say right now what it's going to save, we know it's going to save some dollars by having 2 or 3 weeks of less work time. You know, $15,000-$20,000 of interest, but every little bit helps at this point.
Then I was wondering on the fence, I see in the artist rendition it looks like the cedar fence was painted. Is it actually going to just be a natural cedar fence with a clear finish on it, or will it just age naturally? Or I'm just concerned, you know, how it will look in 5 or 10 years.
Will they put any kind of, I mean, there'll be some kind of finish on that wood to protect
them? I would be more than happy to offer up that we would stain the fence, you know, rather than just let it go naturally and turn dark at some point down the road.
I don't have anything against natural. I mean, that's what we did with ours. We just put one up a few years ago. But I was just kind of curious, you know, about, because it looked like paint on it, and I just didn't know how well paint would, you know, would age on that. I actually think natural might be better, personally.
Okay, thank you. At this point, we're going to open a public hearing. So if we have anyone that from the public that wishes to speak on this, now's the time. And see, go right ahead, Doug. Okay, can you flip those lights back? Flip the lights back. Please. Thank you. Oh, yes. Thanks, baby. Can you answer that, Ken? He wants.
It's terminology for a concrete block wall.
Does it mean concrete masonry something?
Yes, concrete masonry.
Something.
Material.
You use the
material.
Material. It's a trade word.
You'll have to Google it. You'll have to Google it, Doug.
Right. I'm looking at the AHP.
Affordable housing program.
Is that a government program?
It's some government funding that is normally associated with affordable housing.
It's a funding source. It's a funding source.
Yes.
Affordable housing
funding source.
Right. So there could be a mixture of dollars, but ultimately it sounds like it's under a government umbrella. As a general use, so it wouldn't have to be as a phrase. But my main question was under long-term upkeep, did I hear, or was it just my mind that extrapolated, that there are now CCNRs that at future checkpoints, say 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20, 25 years from now? I'm thinking of Sycamore West and the guy from McLeod who renovated that, and how terrible Sycamore West got without taxing an institutional memory that doesn't exist. Are the CCNRs to which you refer now, that you refer to, that requires the owner or owner/operator to
maintain?
Is that for today?
It's for
CCNRs?
Yes. It runs with the project, and just to differentiate between the Sycamore West They are not a affordable housing under the same umbrella. They don't have that funding, so they don't have the requirements that this type of project would, or projects that are coming under federal funding. This has a 55-year restriction on it. So for 55 years, it has to stay affordable senior housing. So that's the restriction held.
The question then is, do the CCNRs to which you're referring have long existed in the city of Wells?
This was just drafted. They're drafted according to, normally they are drafted as a result of engineering that wants to capture maintenance and of some utilities or sewers and such. But in this case, the engineer incorporated a number of other elements, and fencing was one of them in there. So there's a lot of upkeep that they have to undertake throughout the life of the project. And I just paraphrased it as far as fencing was one of the...
I completely understand that. Thank you. I just wondered, is this particular CCNR in this particular package material, begin with that material, or is it something that could separately obtain
Well, I don't have a recorded copy of them yet. I just have the draft.
Perhaps sometime down the line, I could, if you'll pardon me.
Sure. You could come in, we could...
Email you?
Sure.
Okay, and since Doug's our only audience member tonight, I think we'll close the public hearing. Okay, commission, let's discuss. Who wants to start?
I'll start.
Okay.
When this project was first brought before us, I was very excited about this project. It was a really nice looking project. It had it looked really good, and a lot of attention to detail had been taken. And like you say, that was about 2 years ago, and then nothing was done. So I have been contacted by several members of the public that were in opposition of these changes. Because for me, and what they were saying to me is, you know, you have a really good project, and then for whatever reason it doesn't get going, and then at the time that it starts to go, then you want to save money for different reasons. I understand projects go and things are sometimes more expensive at the time that you start to build the project. But my thoughts are, as a planning commission, this was brought before us, we reviewed it, we approved it, and now I would really hate to see us start a precedent where people can bring us a project, we sign off on the project, we welcome it, and then when it gets time to build it, they can go, oh, by the way, well, this has come up and that's come up, because there are always things that come up. And I just think that I know when we've done, on a personal note, when we've done projects, we always build in funding because we know everything is going to go up, and so we take that into consideration. Sometimes it costs a little more than you thought, and sometimes it works in your favor and it doesn't take all your funds. But I would hate to see us set a precedent of approving projects and then having them come back and lessen them, because I think the project that we approved was a good project, and I would like to see us stay with that.
Bob?
I'm new to this, but I've lived in a stucco house before. They're paid. I think this product is a lot more attractive, and it's going to hold up a lot better than stucco. As far as the fence, I think the cedar fence looks a whole lot better than that block wall. I think it adds to the overall good looks of the place. As far as approving, of course, like I said, I'm doing this, approving having people come and wanting to change their plans, I think you have to take those each case individually as they come up. I think the situation that they have here, I think, warrants the change. And I'm for it, but that's just me.
Shirley?
I wasn't here when the original project came on board, and I'm new also, but as I can say from experience of having installed vinyl siding on my house probably 20 to 25 years ago, it looks almost as good as the day we put it on there. So I have absolutely no problem with that vinyl siding, you know, and I do believe that will hold up longer than 25 years. I had a few concerns about the cedar fencing, but now that I see you're putting three runners crosswise, I think that'll be a lot sturdier than the two runners. And my concerns were kind of alleviated when I read the CCRs on there that, you know, maintaining the fence was part of those CCRs there. So I'm comfortable, you know, that if that fence starts looking terrible in 10 to 15 years, that it'll be replaced or something will be done about it. So I'm comfortable with the changes that you're going to make.
You have anything,
I have a question. Who enforces the CCRs?
Well, I believe, as Mr. Koss said a little bit ago, it'll be the lenders who will be out there looking all the time. Home does their annuals, and the city has will have to do annual reports all the time. So my feeling is that any of the aspects or the elements under the CCRs will be looked at periodically by city staff, as well as the engineering has two or three bones in this fight as well. So keeping those improvements and utilities maintained as well is going to be something we would also be looking at.
But what would be the penalty if it wasn't done?
I don't know if there was any penalty involved in this.
Okay.
It's, yeah. I can't. I don't know. There's nothing in the CCNRs that give a penalty.
Okay.
So basically, it's unenforceable.
It's a recorded document, so it's whatever you can, whatever kind of pressure you can put on them, I guess, is what the city has the right, I think, to ask them to maintain. It's, but as far as enforcement, it's almost like a code enforcement issue, probably.
Which we know how code enforcement works.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I can get a copy of the CCNRs. Excuse for a second, and I can, you know, make sure.
Well, I don't have a problem with the CC. I'm sure it covers all the bases, but if it's not enforceable, I mean, it can say anything.
Well, it's enforceable as much, I guess, as we want to enforce it. I think that's what a recorded document is. It's at least a handle for you to say you signed and attested you will upkeep these aspects of a project. So. Therefore.
Right, which we understand, but the thing is you give them something that says you need to fix this, and then they don't fix it, it stays unfixed because you have no way to, you don't find them, there's nothing.
Right, no, penalty-wise, dollar-wise, I don't have anything that I could put my hand on. Possibly Ken has been involved in other projects before.
Do you want to step up to the microphone, please?
One thing that the city has is a huge hammer, is all Karen has to do is pick up the telephone and call the permanent lender and say, these guys are not taking care of that. Trust me, if something did have to be done, it'd be done in a heartbeat. City's got a huge hammer with the CCNRs.
So we have some, and somewhere to go if
she didn't want to just call the permanent.
Well, that was going to be my next statement. We have the right to let home know, because as I say, I'm working on an annual report right now. We will have to report to them every year on this project.
Every month there's a certain number of dollars that goes into the reserve account that we can only take care of when the city okays it, the home okays it, the permanent lender okays it, before we can spend any of that money. So the city's got a huge hammer on $60.
Thank you. Anything else, Peggy?
No.
Okay, my turn. I feel the same way Candace says about setting the precedents. I understand
that the government loans are kind of unpredictable. I went and looked at the project in Williams. It's a very nice project. I don't so much have an issue with the vinyl siding as I do with the fence. And just because the wood is not as durable as the cement.
Sound wise, too.
And, you know, we've seen other places that they realize that they don't fall under the same, you know, the other complexes we have for multifamily, and those fences are just trashed. So I just am having a hard time with the fencing part of it. And that's my two cents. Shirley?
I would just like to know, on the other projects that you have up and down the state, do several of those have cedar fencing, and what is the oldest fence or the oldest project that you have, and how is the fence held up? Have you had to replace parts of it, or?
Pacific West Community has built about 80 projects over the last 10 or 12 years, and we probably have CMU fences, maybe 10 of them, and the rest of them all have cedar fences.
Okay.
So longevity-wise, the cedar fence, I can understand, you know, you're thinking that the concrete's gonna last longer than the cedar. It probably would. But I think that overall, the CMU wall, trust me, it's gonna look ugly the week after it's done, and then it's gonna get repainted, and it's gonna look ugly again, because it's gonna get tagged two or three places immediately. And the ones that we've done, that's the worst problem that we've got, is repaint and tagging, because it gets done. And this will get hit down at the very south end of the project where we have the emergency entry,
EVA.
EVA, and then it'll get hit right in front too.
Well, if they're gonna tag it, they'll tag a wood fence as, if you're going to tag, if they want to tag a fence, they'll tag a wood fence as easy as they will the other fence. I mean, tagging's tagging.
I just can't tell you, we're at a crisis point with this thing. If we can't get some reduction, what's going to cost to do things, there's a good possibility we're going to have to shut the project down until we can find other sources of financing.
Why did you go ahead and start this project with these? Why did you go ahead and start the project?
Well, because we thought we had everything in place.
But weren't you anticipating these changes when you started the project?
If I would have been to make these changes before we started the project, I would have come to you.
The end of May. Yeah, the end of May.
Well, one of the people that came to me is somebody that has a project that we've approved, and their question to me is, if you let them change to save money on that project, what is going to prevent, why can't I cheapen my project and come in with that too? So I really hate to see us start that. We have not done that in the past. Since I've been on the council or the commission, we've only had one project come back to us like this, where they said, you know, we started this and it was going, but now we want to make these changes, and they wanted to lessen the project, and we did not allow that because it had started and that's what we had approved, and they went ahead with the project.
A horrible project where you can't change your rents. Understand, you can build other things. We can't raise our rents.
It was a CHIP housing project, so it was affordable housing.
Okay, so what's the pleasure of the commission?
I just have one more question. On the $500,000 shortfall, when you started this project 2 years ago, was all of your funding in place then, or did you find out just 6 months or a year ago that you were going to be short on the $500,000? When did that happen?
was made aware of the $500,000 shortfall. I think I talked to Karen and the chairperson.
About 3 months ago.
It was in April, I believe.
Right, it was right before, about a month before building permit issuance.
And 2 years ago, there was no way that we were thinking of a $500,000 shortfall. We never would have gone forward with it. And government funding for affordable housing is difficult. I had a 514 USDA $1 million grant for a project, and they gave me the paperwork, said I got the money. Last week, gave me a notice and said, sorry, you got no money. Just take it away from me. So that's what happened here.
Who, Ken, who operates the AHP? Is that, I'm not, you know, I know of it, but I'm not familiar enough to know who governs the AHP.
The loan goes through the Federal Home Loan Bank. That's the only thing I don't care.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I'm not the financial end of the business. I'm a problem solver for the company.
Personally, I don't think you're cheapening the project. I think it looks better. My own personal opinion. I think it aesthetically it looks a lot nicer than the. I think the concrete wall looks atrocious. I wouldn't want it to live one by me. And as far as the stucco, I mean the siding, I think is a lot more reasonable, a lot more suitable than stucco. Like I said, I've lived in stucco houses.
Yeah.
They deteriorate very fast. So I think I actually approve the product myself.
So would you like to make a motion to?
Yeah, I would, but I'm not sure I'm supposed to do that. I'm sorry. What do I?
Well, Commissioner Griffith, in the packet I
provided
a draft just to be able to look at if you were anticipating approving any of the requests, one or both of them. So the resolution reads as. The title of the resolution reads as a request, full request. So if you were going to make a motion, you would make a motion based upon that, and then it would go to the commission for their...
I'd make a motion we pass the
so
full...
You'd have to read this.
I'll read it, yeah.
Yeah, you'd make a motion to...
I make a motion to the resolution for the Planning Commission of the City of Willis approve a planning request to change the exterior planning material from stucco to vinyl siding, change the fence material from CMU block wall to the decorative cedar architectural style perimeter fence for the Pacific West Community 49 unit senior apartment project, file DR 1201 for the property located at 1340 West Sycamore Street, assessors parcel 001061042.
Do we have a second?
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed? No.
Nay.
All right. So the determination is 2-3 against any of materials. Is this motion that you are against both of the changes, or would you welcome a revised motion that speaks to just one aspect of the requested changes?
Well, I tend to agree with Bob and Shirley. I really don't have an issue with the stucco being changed to the vinyl lap siding, but I do have a problem with the fencing.
Okay, so maybe possibly a motion could be on the floor that would deviate and remove that portion of the resolution.
Yeah, I could make a motion to for a resolution to approve the request to change the exterior building material from stucco to vinyl siding.
Okay.
For this project.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay. Well, it appears that the commission is a 4-1 vote in favor of allowing the requested change for the building material, and only, and will are not going to approve the request for the cedar fencing. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Well, then the motion will be, or the resolution will be drafted as such, and the decision.
So do they have the, can they appeal this to the City Council at this point?
I guess any decision can be appealed to the City Council. This isn't a use permit, it's a design review, but any decision of the Planning Commission can be appealed. Our code allows for decisions of the Planning Commission to be appealed to the City Council.
Okay.
So with that, that's, that one portion of your project is been your request has been approved. So. Is everybody okay with the temperature?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll move on to 7B, review of draft 2014-2019 housing element update. Karen?
Okay. Long-awaited housing element.
Yay!
You get to see it every 5 years. Oh, right. We are, we have the housing element update in front of you this evening as well. Last time we had the housing element update, which was in 2010, I think it was finalized in 2010 and started in 2009. This went before the Joint Planning Commission and City Council. At that time, City Council members have asked that this be separated out. The Planning Commission get to hear it first, so bringing it before you first. And just a little background on it. Every 5 years, this is a requirement. We're under the fifth housing cycle right now in order to prepare a 2014-2019 housing element update, and that is before you. As government code does require that the state has include the housing element as part of its adopted general plan, and so we do have a housing element that is in effect up until January of this year. So we have been notified by the state we need to get another one too. PMC has been was the selected contractor, and our request for proposals in order to prepare the update. So a contract was awarded to them in late March, and they allowed started the preparation of the documents. So we wanted to just give you little updates or highlights of it. You know, it does address our planning period from up until 2019 with this housing element. And the goals that are and the programs that are listed in the housing element are those that have not been met or we want to continue on. In looking through the housing element of the last round, there were a number of programs that we had initiated. A number of those programs have been taking place. We have done some zoning excerpts. We have included some additional language in our definitions and within our zoning districts that were according to the state mandates. This time around, our regional housing needs numbers are much, much lower than they have been in the past. City of Willows has 63 within a 7-year planning period to be able to meet. In past years, they've been in the range of like 500. So it was almost unfathomable to be able to meet those kinds of housing requirements, but it's something we weren't mandated to meet. We were just mandated to plan for them. So we did in our last housing element. In this one, We have, as I say, the numbers are 63. The 49-unit senior apartment complex falls within this planning period, so we can count that towards our 63. So we're over halfway and almost two-thirds of the way there to meeting our numbers. Additionally, within the housing element here is just continued programs to be able to meet any of the latest requirements of the state since our last housing element. I think I just touched on the regional housing needs number, and those units are set aside for affordable housing, as we like to try and encourage developers, and that will help meet our needs here. What will also take place here, this draft document that's before you is for you to provide in comments to the state or to the city here. We are going to be presenting this to the state for their initial 60-day review. And with that, we are going to ask for an expedited review, as the city has met all of the requirements. I believe there are 5 requirements that are required this year. 4 of them were done in our last housing element. There was one that was out there, which you heard recently in the last few months, was the density bonus ordinance. So that went into effect already, and that was the last checklist item that we needed to have in place so that we could ask for the expedited review. So we're hoping that the state won't take 60 days to review it the first time around, because we do have the right to ask for the expedited review. During the meantime, though, an initial study of the environmental document will be circulated. It'll probably go out to the public for 30 days. Within the next 10 to 12 days, we'll have it. Mike has sent me the initial study to review. So this will go to the state, and we will be putting the initial study out. You will probably see a notice in the paper of a notice of intent with a to-be-determined date that it will go to the city council. Because once the state comes back with their comments, then if there are any changes that they propose or suggest, those will be incorporated, and then that final document will go to the city council for their approval, and then back to the state for their final approval and then certification. So with that, I'd like to introduce Mike Martin. Mr. Martin is with PMC, and he has been the person who has prepared this document. And Mike has got a short presentation to be able to give you an overview of the housing element as well. So.
Carrie said her childhood house.
Oh, it did. Okay.
I want to know what one of those didn't make the dilapidated one. I mean, come on, how long ago did you take the picture?
Exactly.
It's like,
so that was her childhood house.
Which one? Oh, that one on French Street?
Yeah.
Oh.
We all knew that house.
Okay. But I have a question for you.
Anyway, this is obviously the 2014-2019 City of Willows housing on that day. The purpose of this is to tell you the requirements by the state of what the regional housing needs allocation is. The updates that we made, program updates, program updates we made as well, and the results get updated every 4 to 8 years, and actually it's 5 years in your case. Actually, there's not a place in the state.
Is it really?
Yeah. Actually, you can't just 5 to 8 years. If you have a regional transportation plan, it goes according to that plan, and it just has to stay along.
That's good.
So, this is the fifth cycle, and it's the housing element is actually supposed to be adopted by June 30th of this year. However, they give you 120-day leeway. So, it's adopted with the next 120 days, which will be good to go at that point. And it's good until June 30th, 2019. The housing element has to be consistent with other elements in the general plan. In other words, it has to be consistent with the land use element, circulation element, that type of thing. And it's a plan to meet the existing projected housing need for all economic segments in the community. What do you mean by that? There's all intermodal spaces. Next slide shows you what the housing allocation is for the city, or for the city as well as Clinton County. It's actually given to the city by the Department of Housing and Community Development. Clinton County gets 260 for all the jurisdictions in the county. And then of that 263 of them is given to Willows. This is what this means is the city has to provide adequate plans to build at least 63 units in the city at this time. So if you have only 20 acres of residential land, you can't get 63 units upon those 20 acres, and you have to rezone acres to meet those, to get those 63 units. In this case, if you don't have a problem, you had a problem last time, it was like 560 something, which was a huge difference. So I guess the downturn in the recent housing, not recent housing market has actually had some good things.
Somebody in the state was paying attention.
Yeah. I don't know where to get the idea that rules have been increased by 500 plus houses in 5 years. This slide actually shows you the comparison of vacant land as well as the regional housing needs allocation by income level. Now, Karen told you that 49 units were being built by the Affordable Housing Project Group. However, you have to only put that project in a certain income category because it's only for certain incomes. So even though it's 49 units, they actually only, those 49 units can only be used for the very low income level. So that need is already met. However, you still have needs for extremely low income, moderate income, above moderate income. So in reality, you still have to build, you don't have to build, but you have to provide land for 53 more units in the city. As you can see from the site inventory, this is a vacant land use inventory that we do with all the vacant residential land in the city, and you have way more than enough. You have 614 units, unit capacity on the vacant land that you have. So you don't have to be done or anything, so that's really that is a very good thing. The next slide just tells you where we get this information from. Lynn County is given a data packet by the state, which gives us a lot of census information, a lot of housing information, that type of thing. We use that as well as information from the Northern Regional Center for the development of disabilities. They give us a lot of disability type stuff information. We update housing condition, which was done by the survey that you're actually going to look at next. A lot of cities don't do that. However, it's a good thing to have because it does allow you to apply for grant funding a lot better, a lot easier. You'll receive a lot easier that way if you have the updated housing condition survey. And all these things are put together so we can address the fifth cycle of the housing needs allocation based on the data plan and the projected need. The next slide shows what some of the key programs are that have been continued or added to the housing element. Two top ones were actually in the housing element and continue because we feel like they're something that's really neat that the state looks at. You have a certain amount of programs you have to have in your housing element that the state requires. These are two of them, they're actually quite a few, but they look at to make sure that you have programs in place to provide housing for all income levels. These two, one is for first-time home buyers and lower-income households. And the second one is for senior care facilities. They look at
That's been a change since last time, correct?
What type of housing is that? What is the transitional?
Transitional is like drug rehab.
Okay.
Supportive housing. There's a difference. They're kind of both drug rehab. One is for, you can only be in there for 6 months. The other one can be in there for, I think, 4 to 6 months. They have different time schedules that people have to actually get out of the transitional housing.
That's what I thought it was, but I wasn't absolutely sure. Thank you.
Yeah, a battered house, I just need some guys to consider about transitional housing.
Mike, as far as the, am I correct that we have to just change it so that the changes I'll have to make are just so that they're allowed in all residential zoning districts, not the definition of transitional, or is there both?
Fine. It's not residential districts. It's all zones that allow residential zones.
Okay.
That's the difference. You allow it right now in your residential districts, which is great, but because you don't allow it in agricultural zones, which allow residential zones, you have to comply with zoning code. The next slide just showed you what the schedule is. We had a public workshop in May. At that time, we started doing the draft out on June. Right now, obviously, we're having the planning commission hearing.
Questions?
I have a question on the one sheet that you have about the RHNA allocation. Mm-hmm. When you get down, it says, you know, we have 18 left over for the extremely low to low income, and then moderate income to above moderate says 35. Shouldn't that be 37?
Yeah,
that's what I was going to add. Okay. I was just curious.
He was hoping nobody
I think there's an error there, but I thought maybe I would ask. Pardon? Yes, you got the 18 right. That's why I was going, now wait a minute, maybe I'm misunderstanding.
I'd like to know where the state gets their figures. From what I see in this thing, that our population has declined since by 66 people, and yet we have to have 63 new housing units.
Bob, you should have been here last time when we had to have 500.
I know. Yeah. And the population's declining, but they say we need more housing.
Oh, yeah.
Logic doesn't factor in.
I know. Well, it's government, I know.
Well, if you want to go to that point, it also shows that we've lost population in the 1 to 19 range, and we've also lost population in the 25 to 44 range, but our labor force has increased.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. That means that the kids and their parents have left.
That's what hurts.
If you're talking about 1 to 19 and 25 to 44, who else is that?
Right.
So those people have left, but somehow or another, our labor force has increased from 11,100 in the county to 12,740.
It's funny because I saw that. I did that
Yeah.
The thing about it is you're getting statistics from two different sources.
Right.
One is from the Department of California
Finance.
Development Department. The other one is from the state of California.
Department of Finance, sir.
Yeah.
And they don't talk.
No.
Of course
not.
Could it be we have more people working in the city from out other areas, coming in from other areas, why the workforce is higher than the population?
Probably so.
Yeah, I don't know exactly where they get the numbers from. But
is that is that overall in the county, though, as far as the numbers increase?
I don't know.
It's not just city, it's overall the county, I believe, so.
Yeah.
So do we need to open a public hearing then? On this one?
I think it's good to open the public hearing so that it shows to the state that, you know, we've allowed anybody.
Okay. No one else has questions?
I have one other. In the beginning, it says programs, overview, and accomplishments. What is identified in there, is that from the previous housing element? Not this. So if I go and look at the programs, et cetera, and the current housing element, they're not going to match up with the numbering system.
The numbering system will be slightly different because we removed a lot of programs.
Right.
Some of the programs
that
carry over because
they're
good programs.
Right. And I was curious about the one that we identify in here. About expand home ownership opportunities for very low and low income and first time homeowners through the use of CDB general allocation. But then in the comment, it says no CBDG funding has been awarded to the city for first time home buyers. However, the city will continue to apply for this funding. Is it just difficult to get it in rural areas, or what is the issue here?
A lot of times, one thing they look at is your income needs or your needs based on income levels. One of the things that you didn't have before that you do have this time is a housing condition survey that shows that the housing in the city is, I don't know what the survey that said, but what they look at, that you know, how good is it or how bad is it, basically. You have to have these things, you have to have all these different things. You have to give to the state a housing condition survey. You have to be what they call target income groups, which is groups of 80% of income. They have things like that big is the thing that you have to send them to them. And if you don't have to jump in all the steps, or you don't fill out all the steps the way the state wants you to do it, then you don't receive funding because there's such a demand from all the other cities in the state. So there's just a limited amount of money. There's a high demand, so what they do is they rate all the cities according to what the TIG number is, what the housing conditions survey is, make sure they have all the stuff in the grant application that's supposed to be in there. And if you don't have them all filled out the right way, you don't have the right PID, you don't have the right housing condition, then you don't get the funding. So I don't know exactly why the state decided to come last time because I didn't do it. However, the housing condition survey will assist that. I also know that the city of Willows has a fairly low income.
Yeah, well, that's why I was.
You don't apply for it every year, you don't get it put on the list for the next year, so you have to apply the grant. So you still have to apply if you don't get it, because if you don't apply the next year, then it kind of bumps you down on the grant. So if that, I don't know why.
I think Karen knows.
Well, as far as why we haven't applied for first-time homebuyer funds, is that pretty much your question, Commissioner?
Well, it says, the way it's worded, it sounds like we've applied for it, but we've just never gotten any. It says, however, the city will continue to apply for this funding. So it sounds like we've done it in the past, but we haven't been awarded it, and I just wanted to know what the issue was if we've applied for it, because around here, it's fairly low income. And that's why I was just wondering what the issue was.
We have had first-time home buyers funding in the past. We had it when I worked for the city, and we awarded several of those to first-time homebuyers.
It's been a
few years.
That's what I was just.
Because when I worked at Lambert's, we had a couple of the houses that we insured, and that was one of the mortgagees on was through that
and
program.
And also to address that, because I don't think the city has had requests or applications that have come in for funding, We also, though, do have revolving money that comes from paybacks. So let's say if somebody came in and wanted to do a minor rehab repair and they do qualify, then they can tap into that program income that has been from paybacks. So we haven't had the need, I believe, at this point, or the request to be able to go after that, or to be able to go after those funding sources. And I felt that it was necessary to do an updated housing condition survey because the last one was 1991. So the state does recognize then that we are looking towards applying for it in the future. We just wanted some new numbers to be able to incorporate into our application. So I would see within the next year or two that the city will apply for some funding. One of the new stipulations, I guess, that I know that Mike I think is aware of too, when you apply for funding in this go around, let's say we would apply for funding this year for some first time home buyer funds, we wouldn't have, that'd been too premature. We didn't have figures in enough to be able to put together a good application, and two, we didn't have any need. Now that I feel we have a housing condition survey, an updated one, and when we send it to the state and we have their adoption on it, then we can we can send out, you know, some newspaper articles and say, you know, we now have the availability to apply for this funding because we have information and data to substantiate an application. So I would probably see that there might be some future requests then.
So we haven't applied because we haven't had the information to apply for it.
I think that's in essence, yeah. I had asked that question actually a couple of years ago myself, two or three.
Because I was going to say, how is a person who is a first-time home buyer that's low income is supposed to know? I mean, is it the real estate agent, the bank, or, I mean, does it information has to come directly from the city?
It
that
would.
This money? I mean, and if they don't know that a program like that even exists, how can they come and ask?
Right. It has to be, you have to publicize it. So
okay.
There's been no publications of any of that, but I would foresee that, and I've talked to the finance department about that. Right now, when we get past all of these element update and our housing condition survey, we can then let the public know that we would be looking at in the future here of applying for. And in other cities, what I've done is, what we've done is we get a kind of a list so that when we go into an application, we can say we've had 15 requests. So that bumps up your need right there. So we were, and then instead of saying, well, we feel we have a number of people out there that would like to, but no one's come to our door knocking yet.
Yeah.
So, and I think overall, as you'll see in the housing condition survey, there's 59% of the housing in the city warrants some sort of rehabilitation.
Yeah. My only other comment on reading this was on page 69, we talk about what a typical average quality standard home costs, $163,673 in construction costs. But then on page 79, now we're talking about a house, we're talking about the fees that are associated with that, and now we're talking about a $231,000 house. So it just seems like we would want some consistency before what we state on page 69 and what we talk about on development fees and taxes.
And what was the second page?
The second page is page 79, where we talk about development fees and taxes. And they go on and it says, we talk about the fees are $14,094. And when you switch to the next page, turn to the next page, page 80. So estimated cost is $231,000. So we go from talking about a house that's 181,923 up to 231. So it's like, well, what's the average cost of a house here then? Because at one point we're talking about one thing, and then at another point we're talking about something else.
That's probably the most likely. I'm sure it is. Probably the title. I'm sure.
So.
I'll have to go back and check that.
Okay. Okay. But like I said, I was reading through it, and I got, now I'm confused.
I mean, so that's good. If you didn't notice that mistake, it really takes a lot.
Okay.
That's the reason why I brought it forward. that's what I'm looking for, is fine-tuning it like this.
Well, like I said,
I've read a few.
Yes. And I think, Mike, would you look into that to see which of those numbers are correct and stuff? We'll change that, and I'll let the commissioners know as well before we send it to the state. So.
And one other question. We talk about in the beginning about the monthly meeting with the Board of Supervisors. Do we have any idea if that'll ever start occurring again? You know, the city councils and the Board of Supervisors? Because I know that that was very ambitious, and I think it happened, what, two or three times?
Oh, well, I remember asking city manager about it and keeping that program in. That was
I mean, I wouldn't want to delete it, but I was just like...
Instigate it, Commissioner White?
Because I went to a few when I worked for the county, so...
It's always good to, you know, get back and forth into each other's business.
I'm done.
Okay.
Are you?
So we'll open the public hearing. Do we have anyone from the public that wishes to comment or ask questions on this? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing. What's the pleasure of the commission? Or do we need to discuss more?
There's a resolution there.
Yeah, I just had it in my hand. I stuck it back in the pile. Okay, who's going first?
I move the Planning Commission adopt the next resolution in line of the Planning Commission of the City of Willows recommending submittal of the draft 2014-2019 housing element update to state housing and community development prepared for the City of Willows.
Do we have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
We're done with that.
Good. Well, we'll make a couple of those best changes, and then I'll let you know, and we'll get that off to the state.
Okay, so now we'll move on to 7C, review of the draft housing condition survey. Karen.
Yes. This is a document that also was prepared under the CDBG block grant. That is also the two parts of it. One is the housing element update, and one is the housing condition survey. So the city was awarded grant funds to prepare both of these studies. And once again, we also did solicit for RFP to have a consultant prepare this, and PMC was the selected consultant. So it worked out very well. They were doing their surveys here. I know it was a team of two teams, and they were here for a week going through the city and all of your housing units here. And as a little update or a little background, I guess, on what this housing conditions survey will do, it did assess, you know, our current housing conditions throughout the city in order to establish our need for a rehabilitation that would benefit low and moderate income homeowners of single family and also multifamily residences too. So that would be if there was an individual that owned a multifamily affordable type of units, then they could apply for funding as well. And they looked at the exterior conditions of the housing units, and in order to make them ensure that they're safe and livable housing stock in our city. And it will assist our elderly and low-income moderate income homeowners with their housing preservation, which is always, sometimes they don't put off that maintenance because they can't afford to be able to do this. Funds that we would apply for under this type of auspice would be money that would be loaned out at a very low interest rate, dependent upon the loan review committee's determination. But that would be then deferred, those types of loans are deferred against the property. So that benefits and helps them to get their necessary health and safety issues taken care of. And this was done in order to a parcel by parcel survey. So if you did see anybody out during the middle week of May, that's what they were doing, preparing and processing all of those, mapping that. And they put it on a nice GIS software and prepared this report that's in front of you. Summary of the report shows that 58.2% of the single family housing stock, around 963 units, 78.3% of duplexes, 47 units, and 68.4% of the multifamily housing, 13, within the city is in need of some form of rehabilitation. That location, according to the map here on the survey, is that this is located east of I-5 and then south of Wood Street. So as the survey says, we do have some housing in need. Approximately about 59% overall is what we have in the sense in the city's parameters that will need some sort of rehabilitation. This project is exempt under environmental review because it is just a feasibility and planning study. So it was noticed in the paper. I did not receive any comments as well as part of it being noticed in the paper. So what we have before you is I'd like the Planning Commission to have reviewed this housing condition survey, and then if you have any recommendations, we'll include those in. Otherwise, what we will do is forward this on to City Council, and then it will go to the state as a final document for their approval, and we will then be able to start using it in the coming years for our housing funds that we would apply for. So if you have any questions?
Questions for Karen?
My only question is, why is this the first house on the page for substantial on substantial and not under dilapidated? I don't know when this picture was taken, but I mean,
which one are you looking
one?
At? Oh,
that one. I don't know if I'm sure Karen doesn't know the house, but I drive by it all the time.
Yeah, I
mean, this house, you can't tell me that anybody could live in it. And I can tell you exactly where it's at.
This one's on Plumas, isn't it?
Yeah, that
Which
one's on
Plumas. Which appendix was it?
Appendix C.
Appendix C.
And it says substantial at the top.
Yeah, but I saw that.
But, I mean, this house is at the corner of Shasta and French Street. And, I mean, a good stiff wind would blow this thing down.
Yes.
I don't know if you should go by and look at it. I can't believe that there'd be any way that... You know, it falls under the
dilapidated, suffering from
excessive neglect, where the building appears structurally unsound and maintenance is non-existent,
it's
not fit for human.
Baby.
Yeah, not for. I mean, I could see it on the page on that page, but not this page.
Okay,
I think it's a typo.
The one on the next page is pretty much the same.
Yeah,
at the top,
bad.
The white one on top, that's pretty much it. I was glad to see mine was dark green.
Yeah, I was glad mine wasn't. No pictures were taken of my house, but
yeah. I'll talk to the preparer of this, and we can probably change that to dilapidated.
Yeah, but otherwise, I thought it was.
I think you're right. It probably warrants it.
Very interesting report.
It's even worse on the other side, on the French Street side.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you go by it here, there's no way anybody could...
There's no way anybody would live in it. And
no.
Well, I think if you touched it, it would just...
Yeah, I mean, that's how it looks.
Yeah,
and it, and I would
say... The
fact
that they only have one dilapidated, it's probably supposed to be on this page. I mean, really.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean,
I mean, and just in the last couple of months, it's really looked even worse than it has in the past.
All right.
So, I mean, that's just because I have to drive by it to go home all the time. So I look at it constantly.
Okay. I'll talk
noted.
To you. Noted. Pardon me?
I said it's noted.
It's noted. That's right. It's noted. I'll make a note on that. That's for sure.
Okay. Do we have any more questions for Karen before we open the public hearing? Okay, we'll open the public hearing for the housing condition survey. Do we have anyone from the public that would like to make a comment or have a question? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing. Pleasure of the commission.
I move to adopt the next resolution in order of the Planning Commission of the City of Willows recommending approval of the draft housing condition survey to the City Council with the possible amendment of one picture.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes.
All right. Thank you.
One question. Who
sure.
Who administers the loans to these low-cost people?
I'm sorry?
Who administers the loans? Who, to say some low-cost, somebody wants to fix their house up, it's dilapidated or?
That, the loan review committee, there's a loan review committee for the city here.
Yes.
And I believe it's the finance director, and I'm not sure who else. I haven't ever sat in on it. What would happen, Commissioner Griffith, is someone would make an application request for use of funds. Let's say when we would notify the public that we're going to apply for funds, if anybody has any desire to be one of the loan or applicants, we would get those names, and then that would go to the state. We would include that in an application. Then when we get funds, then someone would apply for funds. We would it has to go through a process of getting approval through a loan review committee from the city. And we do have loan review guidelines as well that are implemented as part of loaning out monies for our projects. I'm sure Commissioner Benningfield has knowledge of that because she's been involved in that finance part of it when she worked for the city. So,
okay, so we'll move on to number 8, commission commentary. You don't have anything, Sandy?
Oh, surprise.
I was very. Anybody else before
no.
I start?
Bergen.
No? I was very excited when I got the email from Steve about Tractor Supply.
Yes. I forgot about that. What she said.
So, and then the email also on O'Reilly's.
Yes.
Seeing that finally maybe we're going to start seeing
something. Activity.
And I see that Mr. Morgan is working on that lot to get it ready. So we're seeing progress, people.
It's coming in the door. I had another application today for a fitness center. I have another use permit that's coming in for the fitness center. We have design review.
Are they going into an existing?
Going into an existing building, yeah, so that'll be coming before you. One of the things I wanted to find out was your availability next month. Middle of the month,
I'm gone
meeting.
The week of the 25th, so anything other than that week?
I think
week?
It's the 16th, I want to say again, much. Second meeting, first or second
okay,
meeting.
Okay, so that would be the week before.
Candy and I had one other thing that we wanted to comment on is we had a GWIL meeting a week ago.
Which is the Greater Willows Improvement
League. Improvement League. And one of the things we were looking at was expanding the area for the facade improvement program to for like Wood Street.
Mm-hmm.
So that,
and
you know,
Tehama.
And Tehama. So like for one, you know, since we've been having some, you know, new things going in on Wood Street, especially up towards the I-5 interchange, that maybe some of the established businesses there on would be interested maybe in freshening up their facade, because we really haven't had any applications in the area that it affects right now for quite a while. So we were, and there's just been some fresh infusion of money, so it's going to be going to the city council to see if they'll support that.
You'll have another application soon
for
excellent.
Well, oh, okay,
good.
I'm retired, so anytime is fine with me.
August is not an issue.
I'm just gone that last week of August, so other than that.
I probably wouldn't be here for the first meeting in August. But
I'm thinking
that,
the second.
I mean, the first week in August.
So, like,
I'm thinking the second
the
meeting, which I believe.
The 20th?
The 20th, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
that, I don't. School's back in session, so.
What school start?
The 11th.
The 11th?
11th of August?
Ooh.
Yeah,
the only thing that would prevent me from doing that is if we were babysitting up in Reading and we couldn't get back in time.
Okay. Well, I would anticipate the one that I got in today could possibly be then on the agenda for next month. I don't believe the other one that I've kind of got hanging out there. Actually, I have to have another use permit out there for someone wanting to convert the use of a single family residence in a commercial zone. I haven't heard back from them, so I'm not sure that they'll be ready for the meeting. Also, I'm still rolling around is the Glenn Medical Center, and have a revisions back that we're reviewing now. And when that gets through the process of that second review, then the initial study will be going out for that project for the Glenn Medical Center. And so I would anticipate probably within maybe a couple months that will be before you. And then also is, I'm sure within the next couple of months or so, I'll be bringing the Cal Water chromium changes. The chromium, they have to put in some new filtration systems because of state mandated chromium levels. I believe you've maybe been hearing about that as well. They have a design review that they'll have to go through and a use permit.
If we don't approve that, will those changes not come in? Probably not.
Well, these are all going to be in residential zones, so we are all
we
be
may
having
have no water, so we may not even have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's the other part.
So I think that's all the projects.
You said 20th?
The 20th, so we'll be meeting on the 20th, and okay. We look to the 20th of August. I don't think I have anything else. No, this is just something from the Office of Planning Research about how old our general plan is. And I went.
But is it out of date?
File that in the file.
Well, yeah, I'll put that with the rest of them. We're updating our housing element as required. The so rest of them is required. Not required, but
exactly.
They would like you to. Mm-hmm. So
it's recommended.
Until we have a windfall here, we probably will stay with what we've got.
And every other small jurisdiction.
And every other small jurisdiction, because those updates are costly to do. They're not just something you can do in-house within a matter of a couple months or so. They're quite costly, and they are very laborious to undertake. Mm-hmm. So that's all I have for you this evening. I'm glad to see a full house here, full panel.
Yes, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Aboard, Bob. So I said baptism by fire tonight.
I found it very interesting.
Oh, it gets really interesting sometimes. It was quiet tonight, though, because we didn't have very many people here, so, yeah. I'm sure we'll have one of those coming up soon or later.
You'll have other opportunities.
Yeah.
Don't wish those on us.
No.
Well, this one was the housing element last year. The housing element last time was more of a cantankerous process. This time around, I feel that the process is much smoother. I think we're in a much better position to be able to move this one along.
Well, the requests were reasonable.
Yes.
I mean, 500 plus was just...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was just such a joke.
As you're aware, we had almost do the rezone.
Since Basin has come back and they've zoned for multifamily...
Not yet. But
they have not actually...
No, they'd be coming before you.
No, because they have to come before us.
Okay, right. I remember they came, but we didn't... They were just feeling it out, how it would go.
Right, because they came to the joint meeting
and
made a presentation, but they haven't
come back yet.
Done anything. Okay.
This project down south of McDonald's there, Kentucky Fried Chicken, that
house.
What does that fall under? Does it meet any of our needs? Or
That 49-unit senior apartment complex, yes.
Oh, that's where that is.
That's where that is, and yes, that would fall underneath this planning period to be able to, but as Mike said, only... So many of those units.
That 18.
Right, that can be used because they're a certain income group.
Yeah.
We still have to accommodate four other income groups, which we do have in our city. And, you know, we've got 5 years to do that, so we might be able to come up with those other ones in 5 years.
Do you know how many building permits were issued for residential structures in the last 5 years in Willows? I think it's like 13.
You're right, and those were the CHIP housing that was that we got. No, I don't think there was any last year.
Yeah,
there wasn't any last year, but the construction and building is increasing, and so it's coming, it's needed. I mean, people think that we have enough housing here already. You talk to people that are trying to find housing, there isn't. The stock.
It's slim picking.
Yeah, the stock is not there. So mm-hmm. We're also waiting and anticipating hearing about the Tiger Grant, which was that $9.6 million federal DOT money that we applied for that was in conjunction with Basin Street for the Tehama Street improvements, and then also for part of it that was wrapped into that application was for the bridge. Over
mm-hmm.
Trouble
Canal.
Waters.
Canal.
And when do we anticipate hearing something on that?
I just emailed my counterpart that I've been talking with in D.C. and got back the word that it's still being they're still being reviewed. I think I heard something like, is it 80 applications for a gazillion amount of dollars, which, you know, they don't have that. So our application hopefully is going to warrant getting some of those funds. And then I believe that once we get that, which I feel very hopeful, once we get that grant, then all kinds of feathers will be flying down at that project location, because that spurs on, and that will spur on commercial development to try and come in there. Because the infrastructure is always a big part of any improvements to a project. The senior housing project one, you know, they've also got probably some little items too that they want to discuss further about that. Improvements are big on projects, and you have to plan and budget for those. So
that's true.
You know, like any other budget, you know, when you're putting together, shortfalls have to be made up. So, nature of the beast.
Okay, shall we close the meeting? Meeting adjourned.